And we're back for our weekly DFS and betting episode. Today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's John. I'm Zach. You get it by now.
Hi.
This week's episode is brought to you by Ungrateful Dads. So I'm going to explain.
All right.
We're getting ready to record this episode, and I'm going to give you some context as my TV just goes black. We record in my basement, which is like semi-finished, but it's freezing cold. For whatever reason, whoever did my basement didn't put any heat down here. So pretty sweet. John asked me if I want a beer because I do have like a fridge down here and there's just full of drinks and that's all it's used for.
Beer fridge.
John works at a brewery, Brew Gentlemen, which, you know what? Hey, let's get them to sponsor the show.
Yeah, dude. Best
and beer in the city. Had brought me one of my favorite beers of theirs, and it's called Muchos Mahalos. It is I'm going to read it here, a tropical ale made with passion fruit, orange, and guava. It is delightful.
Oh, yeah.
So I had one left, and he said, hey, do you want this last one? I said, yep, that'd be great. And then I remembered a few weeks ago, my dad and I went a little father-son trip downtown to see Eric Clapton.
Right.
And we park in the garage. Legend. And I forgot that John, on the weekends in the summer, I guess this was like a couple months ago because it was still summertime, they set up a little, almost like a food truck, but it's for beer in the city down there. And I walk out of the parking garage, and there's John, and I'm like, oh my God, sweet, man. What's up? And he goes, do you guys want a beer? Like, you know, and we're like, yeah, for sure. My dad, okay. I hope my dad listens to this because I know he does sometimes. My dad doesn't, his beer drinking begins and ends at like, oh, let me take a sip of that.
Right.
And so for more background, the last neighborhood he was living in, a bunch of the guys, you know, younger than him, but like whatever, all had a beer exchange they would do once a month. Everybody brings in like a six pack of just like,
love that,
something they're into, you know, whatever. Right. My dad brought
Corona. He brought Corona. No, he didn't.
I wasn't there, but I had a ton of secondhand embarrassment.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
They're all bringing, like, craft brews and, like, interesting, you know, different breweries and stuff. He comes up with a Corona.
My dad's like, have you tried this cerveza?
Have you?
Okay, so, that's anyways. Awesome. We see John.
Super nice guy, by the way, when I met him. Really, really nice guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just...
Oh my god! So, to bring wine or something. He could have.
My dad doesn't know what beer he wants, and I'm like, I don't know, dude. He goes, "What are you gonna get?" I go, "I'm gonna get Muchos Mahalos." And I said, "It's wait, is that what I got?"
Yeah.
No, I got the garden one, the cucumber one.
He got the garden party.
Garden party. Yeah. I got that, and I thought, you know what? It's like a cucumber.
Yeah, cucumber ale or wheat beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. Then, like, for somebody who's not really into beer, like, you can drink that. Super drinkable.
Oh, yeah.
It was summertime. Yeah. It was hot. I'm like, hey, get one of these.
Gotta like cucumbers, though.
So, we talked to John for a few minutes. We're going to get dinner. We drink the beer. We say thank you. We leave. We walk away from John, and my dad goes, oh, my God, buddy. That was one of the worst beers I ever had in my life. He goes, I drank it because, like, your buddy gave it to us, and I didn't want him to feel bad. I'm like, it wouldn't have felt bad. I'm like, it's not like it's his personal beer that he didn't come up with the recipe.
No, I did not. I mean, it's not Corona.
No, so, it's not Corona. However, that wasn't it. It didn't stop there.
Okay.
Last week, we were at some family party and we're having a couple beers or something. And my dad goes, oh, man, remember that beer your buddy gave me?
Oh, no, he kept it going.
We were watching the Steeler game. My grandparents were in town. We were carving pumpkins. We were doing a whole family thing. My dad's like, and then, my brothers are like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, Zach's buddy gave me a beer, and it was terrible. I was choking it down because we're standing right in front of him. He goes, I wanted to dump it.
Oh, man.
John gave us that beer for free. So, what a jerk.
It was a gift of love.
Ungrateful Dads. Jeez,
he just.
So, yeah, that's who's sponsoring the show today. Ungrateful Dads. in particular, my dad, Matt. All right, let's move on to our DFS lineups from last week. If played the lineup that I gave you, then guess what, buddy? You were a top, well, at least in the, excuse me, I'm going to, It was working its way out.
There you go.
Depending on what you play, but I mean, it was a good lineup regardless, man. Top 50 lineup in the game that I entered out of, let me see here, how many entries are in this? Oh, God, there's a lot. There's a ton of them. Top 50 out of 4,790. I was 48 with that lineup.
Yeah, dude.
So let's do a little recap, because I had the QB1 in CJ Stroud, and he was only $6,500, and he gives you 41.8 FanDuel points. Kareem Hunt saves his own day by finding the end zone. He puts up just a tick under 10.
There you go.
And, dude, what did I tell you last week about Ramondre Stevenson, dude? That matchup was perfect.
Yeah,
it was. A lot of it was on one run, because he only had 9 carries for 87 yards.
It's frustrating, but yeah, he had a huge play.
Yep. 20 points. Yep. Stephon Diggs, he's doing Stephon Diggs things. Jahan Dotson, 2 weeks in a row, finding the end zone, 4 for 69. Garrett Wilson would have had double-digit fantasy points if he didn't fumble the ball, but however, 9.5. And also, what did I tell you about David Njoku also?
Found the end zone as well. Games.
He found the end zone also. Yeah. Now, there were better tight ends to play, and had I played one of them, man, I could have come in first, probably. And that's not something I usually expect to happen. Puka Nacua, the biggest disappointment on the team, 3 for 32. The Rams offense was, bad. Real bad.
I mean, no quarterback.
3 points. It's terrible.
Right.
And the Cleveland Browns defense, that was a no-brainer. 2 interceptions, 1 fumble return, 7 sacks for a total of 23 FanDuel points. That gives you a total of 154.8 FanDuel points on a lineup that still had 3 players in single digits.
Yeah. You had yourself a day. Made some money. That's what we're here for. Right?
You did make some money.
Yeah.
How did you pay out? Can't find it? Yep. That's FanDuel for you.
No. So I'm literally signed out of my account.
Sick.
And I cannot sign in because they're trying to do the little 2-factor authentication.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, well, I have a new number and I'm not getting the thing. So I had to reach out to support, and I literally don't have, I had like 4 lineups. I know for a fact a couple of them did well. Can't report back to you right now. Dang. So
you're not going to be making a lineup live today either.
I can make a lineup
for fun.
For fun, but I can't submit it until tomorrow.
No big deal. Let's jump into doing that then. Well then, let's get started here. I'll get us going. I think we both are going to choose the same quarterback.
Okay.
Because I heard you whispering to yourself. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow at $8,200. Who, if you listened to yesterday's episode, I have him as the QB1 for the week.
My pick was Josh Allen, but he was $800 more for my QB1 of the week. I mean,
sorry. Okay.
So I wanted to go with him again. Maybe stack him with Diggs or something. I don't know. I still think that stacking players in DFS lineups.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I just didn't do it this time around. I'm going to Joe Burrow as well. I think we agree.
Yeah.
Not a lot to talk about. It's going against Houston. Houston just gave up a good amount of yards to Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. So,
yeah.
Could be a shootout. Burrow looks healthy, and that's really the biggest key. He just looks like Joey Burrow again. So, Joey Burrow, 8,200. Put it down.
My first running back off the board, I'm going to take Breece Hall. I like the matchup against Vegas, and he's $7,900. So he's not like any kind of value. I just like what he's been doing. The passing game for the Jets is pretty terrible. And somehow, this is a Sunday night matchup. Dear Lord.
God, man. What is going on? Who's making these decisions?
They should call us next year. We'll make the schedule.
I'll do it for half the amount that whatever guy who's getting paid right now is doing. I'll do it for way less money and do a way better job. Promise.
All right, who's your first running back?
Well, I think that's another great pick. I love Breece Hall against the Raiders. But I was $100 short with how I constructed my team, so I went down to $7,800, and I have Tony Pollard, who's been lying dormant, but I think they're really going to try to get him involved, and the Giants stink. They're going to just keep giving the ball back to the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah.
So 7,800.
Great pick.
Yep, Tony Pollard for me.
running back two, and I'm kind of going value because I have spent beyond my means for my quarterback and first running back, let's say. Sure. So I'm going with a value pick here against a... Okay, whatever, I'm just going to say it. I'm trying to, like, sugarcoat it.
Spit it out!
I'm going Najee Harris at $6,500.
Najee, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, $6,500, Green Bay. Okay. Yeah, they... Sure, they beat up on the Rams, but everybody's doing that now and whatever.
Yeah.
So...
Well, Steelers just had a nice day on the ground as a team.
Yes.
So it could be much like last year. Najee came to, you know, he came to life the second half.
Now, not so much on FanDuel, but in regular fantasy, Najee Harris, 3 weeks in a row now, double digit, you know, full PPR points. FanDuel's half PPR, so 1 week is a little lower. Two of the last 3 weeks, he's found the end zone, and I think he does it again.
I'm just surprised he's not lower in salary.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, I was expecting to have to scroll, but right. Yeah, so $6,500, Najee Harris, Packers.
I don't hate it. My RB2 is going to be Javonte Williams. I've been beating that drum now for a couple weeks. Of course, they didn't play this past week. They had a bye, but prior to that, very involved against Kansas City when the Broncos upset the Chiefs. $6,400 for Javonte Williams. I'm telling you, he's getting healthier. The Broncos kind of have their, you know, they're not as much of an embarrassment as it looked like they might be. I think their defense is getting healthier. They're playing a little bit better football. Russell Wilson hasn't been bad.
No.
But, you know, they want to be balanced. They want to run the ball. I think Javonte's, it's clearly his backfield again. I think $6,400 is kind of a steal at this point for his prescribed, you know, like what his workload looks like it's going to be,
yeah,
type of player he can be. It is against Buffalo. But Buffalo hasn't been all that great. I mean, that's a 5-4 football team. They still have good pieces on defense, but not a team that I think by any means you just can't run the ball against, right, at this point. I think he can be involved in the air too. So I like Javonte, kind of a, you know, a bargain shopper, but I mean, he could give you some upside. So
okay,
$6,400.
My first wide receiver is so I want to stack my quarterback with a wide receiver. I will not be able to afford Jamar Chase, so I'm going to go with the next best thing and okay, his favorite target from last week in T. Higgins at $7,000.
I like it.
So yeah, stacking my quarterback with T. Higgins there. I like the matchup. I think that Houston-Cincinnati is going to be a high-scoring game, but we'll get into that later. That is my first receiver.
Okay. My first receiver was your selection in the last episode. Who you think will be wide receiver one?
Hey!
Going against the suspect Chargers secondary is Amon-Ra St. Brown. $8,600. You're paying up for it, but
yep,
I think he's guaranteed a lot of targets. Could be a big game. Healed up a little bit over the bye. He's been dealing with some nagging injuries, but I think the outlook for him is pretty big, so he'll be my wide receiver one.
Nice. My wide receiver two is going to be Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think there's anybody on that team as of right now that's going to benefit more from Kyler Murray's return than Marquise Brown. Maybe Trey McBride. Well, I don't know. I feel like Trey McBride's been a safety valve. Same with Zach Ertz for Dobbs and Toon. But yeah, anyways,
I think they both benefit.
I also like the matchup against Atlanta, and he's only $6,600, so I will take it.
All right. I'm going with big old DeAndre Hopkins is my wide receiver too. Going against, again, that Tampa Bay secondary that just got ravaged, mm-hmm, by CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. I think Hopkins has a little bit of a new lease on life ever since Will Levis took over there in Tennessee. It's not perfect with Levis. I mean, he can be a little bit erratic, and his his mechanics get a little funky, but the thing is, like, dude's willing to throw it up, and he just has such good arm talent that sometimes he can overcome, like, bad feet, or maybe he doesn't go through his progression perfectly. But honestly, like, I thought he looked mature beyond his years against the Steelers this past week. And, Hopkins had a really good first half against Pittsburgh and didn't have any catches in the second half. Joey Porter kind of locked him down.
Yeah.
But he still had 11 targets, and I love that. And of course, the week prior, he had the massive 3-touchdown game, mm-hmm, during Levis's debut. So I'm going to go with Hopkins. $7,100 was kind of like, it worked for how my team broke down, but like, it's a little more than I'd probably want to pay for a guy because I'm hoping for like the ceiling, but 7,100 against Tampa Bay, coming off of what they just did against Houston, I was willing to take that shot. So give me Hopkins.
Nice. My last wide receiver here is going to be, and I'm just riding a hot hand again. So we got 2 weeks in a row, pretty decent output, and I'm going to continue that with Jahan Dotson.
All right. Love that pick because I made it too.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nice. $6,200.
Now that's cheap.
That is cheap. And
he's
Seattle,
coming off two straight good weeks.
Yes, two straight good weeks. Yeah. Seattle's defense 20th against the pass. And yeah, I mean, 14.9, we'll call it 15 FanDuel points last week, 20 the week before.
Prior, yeah.
Touchdowns in both.
Remember,
weeks.
No Curtis Samuel over there.
Yes.
And Sam Howell is going to keep throwing the football.
He's a gunslinger.
He's a gunslinger. And they have no defense. So they're going to keep throwing it. So yeah, I love the pick. That's why I made it.
Awesome. At tight end, finally, the show's favorite tight end is making a reappearance on a lineup, and that's Sam Laporta.
All right.
I want to get a piece of, like you were talking earlier, you know, in the yesterday's episode, I picked Amon-Ra St. Brown as my wide receiver one for the week. I just couldn't afford him. With the way I was constructing this lineup, I really wanted the stack with Joe Burrow, so I spent a little more on T. Okay. Higgins. So I do want to get a piece of that matchup. The Chargers' defense has definitely shown some holes. So I will take Sam Laporta, who I think is the number two target for the Lions there in the against the Chargers.
Coming off a big game, too. Yeah. Isn't it, just a quick side note, isn't it just so sad how we're talking about the Chargers' defense, and then yet, just the other day, the Jets could do nothing against that defense. I mean, the Jets are literally, I mean, it's just like pulling teeth trying to see them operate.
It's so painful
it's
to watch.
It's funny for contrast.
Everybody gets to watch it on Sunday night.
Oh, God. So, why'd you bring that up again?
I'm going to keep bringing it up. So
miserable. But I like the pick. I love Laporta. I just didn't want to pay up as much for tight end. I try to avoid that.
Sorry, I don't know if I mentioned he's $6,500.
65, right. So I went for Trey McBride at 5,100.
Yeah.
Going against an Atlanta team that, you know, I'm not scared of the matchup. But Kyler Murray being back, first game back of the season. I kind of mentioned this in the past when we were talking. I just see a bunch of horizontal routes.
Dude, you know Modern Warfare 3 is out.
Oh, God. I didn't even think of that, dude. It comes out Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets it out of his system and he remembers to, like, read the blitz package or watch the blitz package video and, like, get into
There's
the film
There's a new
room.
Zombies, too.
Oh, jeez. That's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Okay. Maybe I should check. No. I'm going to stick with Trey McBride. I just think it's a lot of dink and dunk.
Yeah.
A lot of horizontal left to right. Not a lot that's going to be happening down the field. He just had that massive week 2 weeks ago. There is no Zach Ertz. So give me Trey McBride. He's only 5,100. I thought that was reasonable given
that's
the ceiling.
Yeah.
So against Atlanta. So yeah, mark it down.
All right. My flex position. I'm taking a little bit of a reach here. I like the matchup. So I'm taking Tyler Lockett at $6,800. They're playing Washington.
Ooh, okay.
Washington's defense, 27th against the pass. And Seattle just got embarrassed last week. Or this past week. Absolutely embarrassed.
You think they'll just kind of bounce back and business
I'm
as usual, you know, Pete Carroll coach team.
Yeah. I'm hoping for, honestly, what I really hope out of my flex and then anything more than that, just a bonus, is I really just hope for 10. A minimum of 10.
Well, he's always a touchdown candidate and he could give you that.
Right.
So
at $6,800, I'm taking Tyler Lockett playing Washington.
All right. We did speak about Calvin Ridley towards the end of our last episode.
We did.
And I talked about how Christian Kirk is a big kind of a safety net in the offense. I think he's the most consistent receiver. I think he's likely going to be very involved again. So he's going to be my flex against the 49ers.
Okay.
Good defense.
Yeah.
But I think he'll provide some stability through the air for Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. He's 6,700.
Okay.
And San Francisco hasn't, I mean, statistically has been not good against the pass. Now, no. I you got to take it with a grain of salt. I think they're probably better than what their ranking
currently
shows.
They also added another pass rusher.
They added Chase Young. So, I mean, I get all that, but they're still going to throw the ball a decent bit.
Yeah.
And as good as Etienne's been, he's not going to find a ton of success on the ground, most likely. So they're going to have to throw the ball. So I'm going to go with Christian Kirk, 6,700.
Okay. Defense. And as a fan of this team, I don't even feel bad picking it because I think the Steelers going up against Green Bay, their defense is going to have a field day.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. I'm expecting multiple turnovers, multiple sacks. I mean, I never want to call a defensive touchdown, but hey, it might happen.
Could happen. They haven't had one in a while, so
they haven't. And they are $4,300. And Green Bay's offense, like I said, terrible. They did do whatever they wanted against the Rams, almost. True. But with Christian Watson being banged up, I don't like that he's banged up. That sounded rude. But
that was not nice, man.
That was not nice.
It's really not nice, bro.
So, but anyways, go to Steelers defense at $4,300.
Cool. I love the pick. Just because of they just get so many splash plays, it feels like, week in, week out on defense. So it's a good one. I went with the Jets, who I just watched. Basically, despite their offense being awful, they still suffocated, you know, a very good quarterback in Justin Herbert on Monday Night Football. They're just good at pretty much their front seven's great. Their secondary is cover guys. We know the story. We know the personnel. They're just really good. They're a well-coached group, defensive head coach. I think they're going to come out against the Raiders, who were riding high a little bit. You know, everyone's happy. New interim head coach, Josh McDaniels is gone, blah, 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 blah. That happens a lot. Whenever there's a kind of changing of the guard, a team comes out, they play fired up. They were playing a bad team, too. But I just don't see that happening again moving forward here. It's a Sunday night game. Jets are used to this. It's going to be ugly. I don't recommend watching it, but the Jets are... likely going to make life very difficult for the Raiders. And they were only $3,900, which I thought was very, very reasonable. Really surprisingly, a low salary pick. So that just fit into my budget. $0 remaining.
Nice.
Going to the Jets.
I also am at $0. So here's a quick rundown of my lineup real quick. Again, Joe Burrow, $8,200 playing Cincinnati. Playing for Cincinnati against Houston. And I think that has the potential to be the highest scoring game of the week. Breece Hall playing the Raiders at $7,900. Najee Harris going up against Green Bay, $6,500 value pick of the week, I think. T. Higgins, $7,000. Again, stacking him with Joe Burrow going up against Houston. Marquise Brown against Atlanta, $6,600 with Kyler Murray back. Hoping we get a little more out of him. Tyler Lockett in hopefully a bounce back game for the entire Seahawks offense against Washington, $6,800. Sam Laporta coming off a bye and coming off a big week before that against the Chargers defense, which is pretty vulnerable to the pass game, $6,500. Riding a hot streak with Jahan Dotson. I'm sorry I mixed up Jahan Dotson and Tyler Lockett. I had those positions flipped, however, I misread it. Jahan Dotson is my third receiver. I had Lockett in the flex.
Okay.
Anyways, Dotson, two good weeks in a row, $6,200. I feel like it's good value for him. And then finishing it off with the Steelers defense going against Green Bay at $4,300 and submit.
All right. I like it. Shaping up. I mean, you did great last week. So whatever you're doing is working.
Yeah.
See if it works again.
I hope so.
All right. I got Joey B again at quarterback, just like you. Tony Pollard is my RB1 against the Giants, $7,800. Love Javonte Williams at his price point, $6,400 against Buffalo. Amon-Ra St. Brown, my big pay up of the week, $8,600, but I think he's just going to get peppered with targets against that Charger defense you mentioned. DeAndre Hopkins, $7,100 against the Tampa Bay defense that just has big holes in that secondary. I also have Jahan Dotson, $6,200 against Seattle. Trey McBride, $5,100 against Atlanta. Christian Kirk is my flex at $6,700. And then I have the Jets defense, $3,900 against the Raiders.
Nice.
Lock it in.
Great job, buddy.
All right, man. You too.
Oh, it is almost time. I almost pushed the button.
Ooh.
However, it's not time for rapid fire yet because, as we promised, we are going to look back on last week and see how we did against our spread picks. So, John, why don't you tell us how we did?
So, interesting week of football.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Lead it off like that.
Some interesting games. Yeah, really hard to predict.
Yeah, real hard.
Really difficult to, you know. So I'll go through our. Do you want me to go through each game pick? Or
give us our overall first, and then we can real quick.
All right, real quickly. Okay. So you did better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you went 4-3 against the spread. It was a solid week.
I was very close. I was a half point.
You were half point away from being 5-2. That's correct. I went 2-5.
Yeah.
I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
I also did win a big bet and won a bunch of money. So you screw did. You I guys. Not, yeah, I win my bets. So that's
I not only missed out on being 5-2, I also missed out on a big bet because of that half a point.
Talk about the Tampa Bay Houston game. Yep.
Oh my God. The Texans score to go up by two. They're favored by 2.5. I had them with the points. And they take a knee for the extra point.
Because the kicker was hurt.
I understand yep. Fairburn was hurt. However, they kicked a field goal earlier, so that running back came out and do it again. Why not just go for two? Why not? Why not make it safe from a potential, you know, Baker Mayfield
yeah.
field goal?
Right. I mean, I get there was so little time on the clock.
They didn't have time. A knee, you know, and I don't get the, yeah. oh my Lord.
Well, because if there's a fumble or an interception, you can return that. For 2 points and Stop. Technically tie the game up. So Stop. That was the thought process. I know it hurts. We'll just move on.
All
right. Yeah, you were 4-3 in the week. I was 2-5.
All right. Well, let's just talk about the give me the games that I got right.
Already. You got the Dolphins game. Oh, you got that one wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say I know I got that wrong.
You got Houston -3. You would have gotten that right if what we just talked about didn't happen. Yeah. You got the Bears game correct. You had them at +7.5. They lost by 7.
Yes.
Cleveland, you had winning by 7.5. They won by a lot more than that.
Yes.
Indianapolis, Carolina. You won that one. That was -2.5 for Indy.
Yes.
The Raiders at -1.5. Certainly won that one because the Giants just imploded.
Easy.
And then I believe you had the under. Oh, you had a +3 for the Jets. And that was you got that one wrong. So. So you got the Giants game right, you got Carolina right, you got Arizona right, and you got Chicago right.
Yep. All right. What'd you have?
I got Pitt right. Yep. I had them at -2.5. Yep. And then what else did I have here? I only had one more. Where was it at? keep looking. I had Philly by 3.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I had that one as well. Nice. So. All right. Well, we're going to do it again this week, and what we're going to do is keep our records against the spread.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
It's so hard to track the over-unders as well. I think we kind of like split on that one.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
but I'm not going to tally all that. So we'll just do, against this, you know, our records against the spread. And at this point you're up 2 games on me. So here we go.
All right. Now, out of fairness, I'm not going to give you the Thursday night game because that sucks. And you said you didn't want to talk about it. You didn't want to whatever. So I'm going to skip over that. And you had said in the last episode you hoped I had to talk about it. So I'll talk about it.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you probably not that much better of a game, really. However, the Colts at the Patriots with the Colts favored by 1.5 and the over-under at 43.5.
Okay, and this game's in Germany, so you purposely gave me another game that makes no sense.
Hey, at least this time you knew about it.
All right. Well, so the Colts are 1.5 favorite. I am going to take the Colts.
Yeah.
I'll take the Colts favored by 1.5. I just feel like there's no home field advantage. The Colts are operating decently, so
the
Patriot team just stinks, and I'm just going to go. Patriots,
5 games under 500 for the first time since the year 2000. So,
jeez. I guess we'll still do over or under.
That's 43.5.
43, that seems high. I'll go low.
Okay.
Especially it being overseas. We saw what happened in the Chiefs-Dolphins game, so I'll go under
43.5. Okay.
All right. Let's do the Thursday night game coming up. Yep. We're going to do Carolina at Chicago.
Yep.
Chicago favored by 3.5. Don't know if Fields is playing. over-under is 39.5.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Fields doesn't play with it being Thursday night, which I don't think it matters. I think Chicago wins the game. Do they win by 3.5? No. I'm going to go Panthers with the points. And I'm going to go over 39.5.
Ooh. So +3.5 for Carolina and the over.
Both defenses suck. And, we're going to have some unexpected points in this game.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I hope you're right, because I'm going to probably watch it like I do every Thursday game and be miserable by midway through the first quarter.
Yeah, and I'll be going to sleep at halftime.
Yeah.
Okay, game you wanted to talk about. I remember things. I'm a thoughtful guy.
You are a thoughtful young lad.
The 49ers in Jacksonville, with the 49ers favored by 3 in the over-under at 45.5.
So, yeah, I kind of like briefly alluded to it, I guess, in our last episode. I think the 49ers come out here and slam dunk this game. I really do.
Okay.
So I'm going to take them at -3. I think they're going to pretty much gash the Jaguar secondary through the air. I think McCaffrey will be McCaffrey. I just don't think that, I think people are overreacting to the skid. I just think this stuff happens. It's a long season. You know, they were a little banged up for a while. McCaffrey was banged up and playing not at 100%.
Yeah.
Listen, Purdy has limitations.
And both teams are coming off a bye.
It shouldn't have taken this type for people to realize that. Brock Purdy has he's a below average arm. And when push comes to shove against teams that are, you know, controlling the pace of play a little bit more than the Niners, you know, are used to, and he has to make big plays down the stretch, I mean, he has chinks in the armor. However, Deebo Samuel, I expect to be back. I don't like that the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary. I also think that 49er defense is going to make a statement. I just think Trevor Lawrence is going to look kind of, you know, I don't know. Remember Daniel Jones looking at the 49er defense, just like, oh my God, what am I looking at?
You think
at?
That's Trevor Lawrence?
That deer in the headlights? I think we'll see a little bit of that. Now, he's obviously a better quarterback, but they add Chase Young.
Yeah.
I just think it's like a big statement game for them. I know it's in Jacksonville, but the Jaguars, too, they're just kind of on this hot streak. I don't think it lasts forever. I like San Francisco by a decent bit more than 3, to be honest with you.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. Jacksonville, they won, 4 in a row, 5 in a row? They're due for a loss. Not that that's a thing, but
I mean, you know, yeah, the pendulum swings back, as they say, and that's how I look at it.
All right, so point total, what do you think, 45 and a half?
I'm going to take the I'll take the over.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over. So that'll be that. All right. So the next one is going to be New Orleans in Minnesota with the Josh Dobbs-led Vikings.
Yeah.
Really interesting game. New Orleans has a pretty good D. So you got Minnesota at home as the underdogs. They're the dogs. Mm-hmm. +2.5 for Minnesota in the dome. Over-under is 41. What do you think?
Okay. I understand Minnesota being the underdog with the Saints defense being what it is. And I also understand, I'm trying to like keep my emotions down because like Josh Dobbs is the man.
Right.
Similar to how I just said Jacksonville's due for a loss, I think the Vikings are too. They're 4-0 in the last 4 games.
Yeah.
The Saints offense is so hard to watch sometimes. This past week, it was. So I'm going to take the Saints -2.5, and I'm going to go over 41.
Okay. I like it.
For you, I'm going to give you Tennessee Titans in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay favored by 1.5, and the over-under at 38.5. So basically my thoughts on this is the Buccaneers run defense pretty good. I think Vegas thinks they're going to be able to hold Derrick Henry in check, and then it's going to be, you know, Will Levis seeing what he can do.
Yeah, but so, I'm curious to see what he does do against a pretty shoddy secondary, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a close one. I like the over, I think, in this one. I think Will Levis is going to be forced to throw. I think that's good for DeAndre Hopkins, hence my DFS pick. I have a feeling, I just think Tampa Bay is just a slightly more cohesive group. I still think Tennessee is just kind of like all over the place.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think they have a good secondary. They have some underrated pieces up front, but Tampa Bay is not going to really run the ball that effectively anyway. I just think the way the teams match up, especially with it being in Tampa, I'm going to go with Tampa at -1.5. And I think I'll take the over. It's 38.5. Okay. I think there will be some broken plays where Levis can make a couple throws. They'll get in the end zone a couple times. You know, we're looking at like a 24-17, 24-20 type game, probably. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go Tampa Bay.
All right, nice. I probably would too, honestly.
Yeah. All right, moving right along. Big AFC North matchup.
Yeah.
We know what they usually look like.
This line's wild.
It's Cleveland in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore's favored by 6, which is interesting. I mean, they've been good. They've been very good. Some people are calling them the kind of the cream of the crop in the AFC right now. Whatever. I don't know if I agree, but favored by 6 points at home. The over-under is just 37.5. So
are they the lowest game of the week? No. No, no, no. Our big Sunday night matchup is. Oh, God. But second lowest scoring game of the week. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think six is too many points. I think Baltimore wins the game probably, but it's going to be closer than that. That's just AFC North football. So I'm going to take the Browns plus six. The over-under, it's pretty. I know I was just saying it was second lowest. However, it's pretty good.
It's pretty accurate.
Two defenses that are pretty good here. And I'm going to go. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to go under. But Browns plus six, under 37.5.
Okay. I can't argue with that. I mean, it's
2014, 2013, something like that.
Well, 2013 would make you wrong, so I hope it's 2014.
2013 is 33.
Well, it's 7 points, though. You took him at plus six.
I'm just talking about... I'm just throwing out random numbers.
Whatever, dude.
The total.
Well, I'm just playing by the rules, all right?
Whatever. 2014 and we push. All right. Jeez Louise.
That's funny.
All right. Okay. All right, Houston Texans in Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 6.5 in the over-under at 48. So Vegas agrees with me when I say that I think this is going to be a high-scoring game because this is your highest-scoring game of the week at 48.5. Well, it's tied with another game we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. That half a point makes a difference.
It does.
It's only 48, so not the highest-scoring game of the week. Sorry, go ahead.
There you go. All right, well, I like Cincinnati in the game at home. Make no mistake, I think Cincinnati with Joe Burrow healthy is it's a different animal. And whatever taste you have in your mouth, if you're a Joe Burrow owner from the first five, maybe 6 weeks of the fantasy season, I get it. He was not healthy. He could not put weight on his leg. He was floating out there at times, like trying, arm. They couldn't go under center because of it. I mean, it was a whole thing. He's been healthy the past 3 weeks, and it shows. I mean, it's back to what we expected them to be. I think it's probably a shootout for the simple fact that I expect Cincinnati to get up early and Houston to be forced to try to keep pace. So I'm going to take Cincinnati -6.5. I'm also going to take the over 48. So I think it's like one of those 34-21 type games. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
I think Cincinnati is just a better football team. And again, Joe Burrow, when he's locked in and he's confident, man, I don't love the guy just from like a personal bias standpoint, but I can't argue what he is when he's out. He's probably going to throw 40 plus attempts and it's going to be, we saw what they just did to Buffalo.
We both like him. We just both put him in our DFS lineups.
So and they're in a position where they really have to, like, because of how the season began, they have to make up ground and win games. They have to. So it's not like, oh, well, they played a big game against Buffalo. They're going to roll over. This one's going to be close. No, I think they come out hungry. They have ground to make up. They have statements to make, right? And I don't know. I just think that it's a completely different animal than what Tampa Bay was. I would take Cincinnati even a couple points more. You know, if it was like 8.5, I'd still take them. So I'll take a -6.5 over 48, then our homer game of the week. It's 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's going to be Green Bay visiting Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. I don't know. Pittsburgh's favored by 3.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under is just 38.5. I think that's a great line.
Yep.
Given the history of the season and the past 3 seasons with that team. So, what do you think?
This is an easy one, I think. Okay. Steelers -3 and the under.
Okay.
I don't really have much else to say about it. I mean, I think the Steelers win it. Probably, I mean, we'll get into it later. We're going to add in a little new segment, so I'm just going to tease that. However, I think the Steelers win this game easier than they've won a game so far this season.
Okay.
So this is one I feel pretty confident in them
winning.
Give
me a little score projection. What do you think?
My actual score projection is 24-10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steelers 24-10, and it's not really close.
So you think it's... Okay. I love that. I'd love to see it happen.
So would I. But come on, baby.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. The Falcons are visiting the Cardinals in Arizona with the Falcons favored by 1.5 with Kyler Murray returning, and the over-under is set at 43.
All right. I have to take Atlanta here at -1.5.
Yeah.
Kind of got embarrassed by Josh Dobbs, but he made big plays. I just think Arizona is just void of talent. They're not a good football team. Atlanta probably controls pace of play decently. It's in Arizona. I don't really care. They're both domes. Whatever. Teams are used to playing in those elements. So
climate controlled, breeze free.
Yeah. So I like Atlanta minus 1.5.
Okay.
Over under, I'll go under.
Yeah, I would too. Those two not good offenses.
No. Not great. Taylor Heineke's better than Ritter. He's still not good.
No.
Moving right along, we have Detroit at the Chargers in L.A. Detroit is favored by 2.5, and the over-under is the largest of the week, 48.5 points.
What is happening?
So what do you think of that one?
Sorry. My screen just got all messed up. Okay. I am going to take Detroit minus 2.5. And as far as the over-under, I'm going to go under 48.5. I know they think it's going to be that high scoring, but I mean, look what... I mean, last night, could have, like, the Chargers...
Well, I'll tell you what. The Chargers tend to have high over-unders associated with their Vegas projections.
Hit the over one time.
And then. Exactly. I just think hitting the under on Chargers games is, like, a little bit of a cheat code. It's just the way it feels, but history kind of shows it though. I mean, there's data points you can review too. I mean, they hit the under all the time.
Yeah.
The offense is never as high flying as you want it to be. It's exciting with Herbert. I get it. Quit taking the bait though.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect call.
Thank you.
I like Detroit as well and the under.
Oh man, what a hard game to pick here for you, buddy.
Well, it kind of is.
This line is wild.
This line sucks.
Okay. The God, New York Giants, man. The Tommy DeVito-led New York Giants going into Dallas.
All right.
So two divisional games in a row for Dallas. Dallas is favored by 16.5.
Yeah.
16 and, oh wait, just listen to this. A 16.5 line, and the over-under set at 38.5. They are expecting the Giants to put up
all the points.
Zero basically. Points. All the points.
We're looking at literally, what would that even be? Like 27 to 11 or something would be like the 28 to 11 is what they're saying. Is like the projected. So they're projecting Giants somehow squeak out either a touchdown or like 3 field goals.
I don't think the Giants even come close to the end zone. Unless it's special teams somehow.
It's a rare. I hate taking spreads like this.
The
like,
double digits.
But that's like a big one, right? 16.5, but I have to take the 16.5 with Dallas here.
Okay.
I just have to do
it. What about that over-under?
I'll take the under. Yeah.
John was buffering for a second there.
I had to think about it, man. Yeah. It's tough. There's a lot of math going on up there. It's the Giants might score 3 points. I mean, literally.
I agree. Yeah. So, if that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we got Washington at Seattle.
Yeah.
Washington coming off a kind of late game win against the Patriots. Whoop-de-doo. They're in Seattle now. Seattle just got whooped by the Ravens, but they're still favored by 6. The over-under is 45.5 in this game.
Yeah, big time. Okay, I do think Seattle wins. I think 6 points is too many.
Oh, okay.
So I'm taking Washington with the points there.
Plus six. All right.
And then as far as that 45.5, under.
Okay.
And I don't really have to think about that. That's, under for sure.
Cool. All right.
Last
one for me.
Another good big one. Sunday night.
Dude, I'm so sick of this.
Barn burner.
Ugh.
The New York football Jets. Oh, I almost said Giants. Going to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Where Max Crosby's the only good player on that. Well, Devontae Adams is there, but where's he been? Anyways, Jets are favored by 1.5. And the over, this sucks. The over-under set at 36.5.
Ugh. I'm buffering again. I mean, this is...
When the line is this small, this is what I think of. Who wins this game? Just outright.
I just feel like the Jets figure it out.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess it's hard to ignore. I mean, it's kind of like what I said earlier, where, like, you get a new coach, and this momentum thing, and everyone's playing off emotion. They come out, have a big game. I don't I do not see them having that type of offensive output against that Jets defense.
Yeah.
I feel like the Jets just run the ball nonstop in this matchup.
I mean, the Raiders might do the same thing.
Right, but I like running against the Raiders front a whole lot more. I'm going to say the Jets at -1.5. As far as the over-under, good luck. I mean, I'll take the under just because it's probably going to be the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
There's a chance there's some broken plays, maybe a turnover, get a pick six, something that boosts it up a little bit. I'll take the under. Just, playing the law of averages, I guess. So I'll go the Jets -1.5 and the under.
Okay.
And with the final game of the Week 10 slate, it's going to be a Monday night matchup. Not the prettiest matchup, I guess, but a lot better than the last one we just talked about. This is going to be Denver visiting the Bills.
Yep.
Buffalo, that's a pretty big... They're favored by 7.5. The over-under is 47.
Yeah.
It's a little high. Denver just stymied the Chiefs.
Yep. Yep.
Albeit, it was a cold day, weather, it matters, but...
Buffalo's used to it. I think Buffalo shows up on, prime time this time around.
I like that.
So I actually like, and I'm going to go with Buffalo -7.5.
Okay.
I'm going to go under 47.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Buffalo with the points. Now, I've been doing something while we're picking these.
Okay.
Every pick we have, I have, as far as the line goes, or our spread goes, I have made those picks and put them into a... into a parlay here.
Oh, all right.
So as we sit right now, here's the thing.
Love that.
They're ridiculous. all of these together are plus 44,000 or 441,791. Those are our odds. So I'm going to make a $1 bet. And if we win, I win $4,400. And John, I promise that if we hit it, I'll split it with you.
I love that. Let's do it. Let's do this every week.
Done. Here we go. I'm placing a $1 bet. Next week, you got to place a dollar. Because I'm going to be broke. All right.
Yep. Sounds good.
We're in there then. Okay, that's set.
There we go.
That was
rapid fire. All
right. Now, I teased a little new section here. We have gone through some analytics. We've looked at our listener base, and we really appreciate all of our active and dedicated listeners. And we have noticed that the bulk of you are in the Pittsburgh market. And guess what? That's where we are.
Yeah. Not all, but a good majority of you are from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the bulk.
For sure.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Steelers a little bit. Now, we messed up our own segue because we talked about ending rapid fire with the Steelers game, and then we would segue into this section.
That's fine.
And we totally forgot.
All good.
So we're going to spend just a couple minutes.
This is what happens. We don't have a producer. Hey, if anybody's looking for a job, we're doing all this on the fly as we talk.
Unpaid job.
Correct. It's volunteer work. But if you want to do it.
That'd be great. Because
there may be a day where it's paid. Who knows?
You could edit these episodes because this is all in-house, baby. We're in my basement. John makes his scripts. This is, man, we are doing this for free.
We are.
Anyways, we're going to talk about the Steelers for a little bit, like 10 minutes max. I'm looking at my little timer I got right here, and we're just going to...
Yeah,
we're going to sit here and talk about the Steelers. So
Steeler corner, little football talk, being that that's our home team. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's... Some people have kind of talked about it. Hey, you guys should talk about the Steelers. Why don't you talk about the Steelers? Well, I mean, we've always just specifically handled league-wide fantasy betting. Yeah. We love that stuff, and we're going to continue to do it. But it doesn't hurt to do a little Steelers segment. I think we have a lot of insight on it, and we have a lot of things to say. So,
for sure.
So, obviously, they came off of that Thursday night game in Week 9.
We were both there.
We were both there. Different sections, but we were both there.
You bought tickets on the furthest away you could be from me.
Well, it was an accident. I literally said,
hey, this is the section I'm in. You go, okay, word, yeah. And then you text me later and go, I got tickets. I'm like, nice, where? You say the section, I look at the map, you are as far away as possible.
I didn't realize until it was already done, and I had to buy tickets for other people, and I had to get them quick, because you know how that is, and you might lose them.
Yeah.
So, but we were both in-house.
Yeah.
So, a good game. It was
colder than I thought it was going to be.
It was not warm.
Did put long johns on, though.
Aha, buddy. See?
I thought about it. I told you. I had to wear a little bigger jeans, and I'd slid some long johns on in there. And so I was okay. I was good.
Yeah, I was all right.
All right, so takeaways from that game. One, One that's been bothering me, and I just don't like it. George Pickens needs to cool his jets a little bit.
Yeah.
I understand the frustrations because, trust me, I'm frustrated with the offense. I'm frustrated with the opportunities that he's getting or not getting. And, of course, two receptions for negative 1 yard stat line sucks. That's terrible. However, your boy over there, your counterpart, catches his first touchdown in almost 2 years. Yeah. Yeah, almost exactly almost, 2 years.
Almost 700 calendar days went by.
And you're pissed.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I get it. We understand he's a fiery dude and whatever. I mean, you have to really nip this in the bud. Like, you can't allow this behavior to kind of continue. You just can't do it. We're already kind of gunshot. We already dealt with the AB experience. Now, I'm not saying it's to that level.
It's not at all. It's not.
I don't think George Pickens is riddled with CTE or anything like AB likely.
There
is.
Are plenty of receivers that get upset when they don't get the ball. I don't want to spend too much time on it. It was just something I mentioned.
Though. Now Tomlin kind of was like, you know, listen, guys, this is an on story for us.
Yeah.
Even Pickens came out. He's like, listen, y'all, don't worry about it. Like probably because someone advised him to.
Yeah.
He was acting a little bit, you know, off the chain. But, I mean, I think it'll be okay. Listen, if you want to talk about division of labor or target share in an offense, it's not always as simple as scripting things for your players. You know what I mean? Like, listen, he also got missed on an underneath route where he could have had a big chunk of change. That's a Kenny Pickett issue.
Big.
And
he probably would have scored.
We'll talk about Kenny. He's going to get a lot of yards. There's a lot of green ahead of him.
He catches that pass, hits him. He's got to make one guy miss, and he's.
But you know what else? Keep your feet in on a perfectly thrown fade.
When you have 3 yards to do
When you have an extra 2 yards to get that second foot down. That was lazy wide receiver play.
No, it is.
It was a lazy play. And you're trying to bail out a quarterback. The number one is a bummed rib.
Yeah.
And already hasn't, you know, it's been a mixed review for Kenny this year. It hasn't, you know, there's been
for sure
good at the end of games, but the other three quarters of, you know, it's all about finding that consistency and finding that rhythm, right? And part of being a good teammate is not just making the plays you're supposed to make, but it's boosting up your teammates when they need that help.
Yeah.
You know, make that, do that extra. And he did the opposite of that. We know he is like alien freak body control for his size. We've seen him get his feet in when there's literally no room at all. He had a foot and a half or a yard and a half to get that second foot down. He didn't do it. He was complacent. It was a lazy play. He had a nice little celebration. You could tell he was thinking about it ahead of time.
Yeah, right.
But it's ridiculous. So,
and you wasted it.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a black eye on the George Pickens season of this year, right. Which up until that point, I mean, I know he didn't get a lot of targets the previous game, but he's had a good year. He's had a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
He's displayed.
He's having a better season than he did last season already.
100%. Yeah. But I don't want to spend too much time on it.
So let's get into Kenny Pickett. So he throws for 180, has the one touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Oh, 160. I'm sorry. His passing numbers. I mean, okay. If we're talking strictly Steelers here, and I realize that, yes, this is his second season, and he's played 20 games or whatever it is now, and that's fine. What people tend to forget, I think, and everybody's like, oh, Ben Roethlisberger, look at Ben's rookie year and even his second year. Okay, let's look at the second year first. He was terrible in the Super Bowl.
But was excellent in the three playoff games leading up
to it. He was excellent in the three playoff games. But then you look at the regular season games from the 2 years prior. Yeah, great record in his rookie year, but he was throwing the ball like 14 times a game.
Yeah, literally about 20 times a game, literally.
He was the epitome of game manager, if there ever was one, his rookie year, but he didn't lose.
Well,
so it looks great.
It's
so
true.
However, like, I think people are getting too hung up on the totals. Now, I do hate the fact that the Steelers' offense hasn't had 400-plus yards in however long it's been. That is unacceptable.
3 years. I mean, it's
unacceptable.
It's ridiculous. But that dates long before him.
Yes, it does. So that was the point I was going to get at.
Right.
But I think people get too hung up on, like, Kenny's throwing for, you know, max 200-some yards or whatever. That's whatever. It doesn't matter. Look at the other quarterbacks in the league who threw for less than 200 yards this week. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts barely gets 200.
Right.
I think he threw exactly 200.
He was right at the line. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And they all won.
And they all won
games.
Yes.
One thing you can't, it's not pretty the way it's happening. Now, the Steelers have been outgained in every game this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're the first of 32 or 34 teams that have been outgained every single game consecutively, the first 8 games into a season.
And have a winning record.
The Steelers are the first one to have a winning record.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it's not sustainable the way they're doing it necessarily.
No, now, you do have two giant blowouts in there.
You do.
Where but we just got.
But they've still been outgained every game.
Yes.
Regardless of opponent. They got blown out by a Houston Texans team that was a heavy dog going into that game. I mean, so whatever. The point here is that Matt Canada's had a ton of hate and vitriol. I mean, the poor guy. I mean, the one thing I'll give him credit for is he.
Sideline Canada's different. That's what I'll give him credit
well,
for.
Well, maybe, because that opening drive looked a little different. We can dive into that drive specifically because I want to here in a second. But the point I just want to make about Matt Canada is you got to give him at least credit for keeping his head down and still going to work and still trying to figure out ways.
Because there's a lot of noise.
There is more noise than I think I've ever seen in professional sports for a non-head coach position on a team.
Yeah,
and we're talking about chance at hockey games, stuff going on in different parts of the country, stuff that's on national TV, college game day. There's
in Iowa or something.
It wasn't even a Pitt-related anything. It was just because it's become trendy. It's become like a hashtag-y thing now.
Because Pat McAfee talked about it.
Sure, and that's what happens. And you know what? Matt Canada has family. He's got a wife. He's got kids. They have to hear this stuff. Yeah. And quite frankly, it has kind of gone over. I don't think he deserves
it's not funny
a job, but it's not funny, and it's not helping anything.
If he does something stupid, then yeah, let him hear it. But I mean, like, at this point, for instance, Thursday night when we were there, I it was so hard for me to tell if the entire stadium was part of it or not. But like, my section
did something too.
And it's just like, it wasn't that bad of a game. Like,
no, it wasn't.
I can't give any fault to him for Thursday night's lack of offense. It was Kenny missing throws, honestly.
Let's
get into that first drive.
Right. That leads perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about is really what we have seen this year, and albeit the playbook isn't changing.
No.
But he's pulling some different things out. So the game plans the last 3 weeks since the bye, guys, they haven't been that bad.
No.
There's a lot of receivers running open. There's opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's a multifaceted issue on the offense. Yes, it's execution. Sometimes it's Kenny. Sometimes they do make things harder on themselves than they have to with some of their design.
Offensive line is letting a lot of people through. Kenny does not have time.
But it's been significantly better as of late.
Sure.
Broderick Jones,
Broderick Jones has to be playing.
He is a dog. He plays violent. He plays physical. And he plays through the play. He gets to the second level. He has great athleticism. It is not a coincidence that by far our best rushing output of the season against a pretty good run defense in Tennessee. That's their staple.
Right.
You can throw all over the Titans.
Yes.
They stopped the run. We ran it down their throats with every running back. That's including Austin. I mean, you know, he had a couple, reverses and things. But they found ways, and they were getting push. That's a Broderick Jones thing.
I don't even care what side you put him on, really. He's got to be on.
He's given up one pressure combined in two full starts. Mm-hmm. He's been at each side of the O-line, played each tackle position, zero sacks allowed, and he's punching people in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's significant, but let's start with that first drive, super quick.
Yep.
There are a few things that stood out to me. Number one, Allen Robinson needs to not be on the field nearly as much as he is right now.
It's a lot. He's out there, here's the thing, because they'll put him out there as the only receiver out there, and you know we're running. Like, I get it that the defense probably knows whether we're going to be passing and running 90% of the time. That's fine. But, I mean, why just totally just full, like, I don't know. Like, when you're running out, you know, two tight ends and then Allen Robinson out there, it's like, all right.
Sure. I mean, it's a tell, so to speak. I mean, clearly they're not trying to, like, really hide what they're doing at that point anyway. My concern is when he's actively involved in the routes and with the offense. There were a couple plays first drive that really ticked me off, and of course seeing it live, that's one thing. I went back, I rewatched the whole game again. That's a whole nother thing. It really showcased what my point's going to be. First example, Allen Robinson is commonly playing, so they're doing a lot of like 2x1 a lot of times whenever they have like an inline tight end out of shotgun and they have the one back next to Kenny, whether it's Jalen, Najee, whatever. They run Deontay flanking, Allen Robinson oftentimes in the slot. That should be Calvin Austin every time.
Every time.
But I digress. And then you'll have George Pickens running ISO on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Okay. First example, they run like a really generic, you know, whatever, generic pass play. It's an easy like high-low read. Allen Robinson, 101, football 101 is you're running a drag play. Mm-hmm. You keep going against man. You find the pocket. If you're running the drag, that underneath route, running the shallow, you stop against them.
Man, yeah, you keep running all the way till you go out of bounds.
Because you have a man trailing you. You keep going, and then if you need to break up field, whatever.
Then break up field, yeah.
The play is broken at that point. Wide open. We got a first down on this play. Mm-hmm. Kenny throws it behind him. Everyone is bitching in the stands. Kenny, just lead up. Listen, Allen Robinson ran 10 yards too far. He's staring at Kenny Pickett the whole time. You're not supposed to do that either. Your eyes do not turn against zone until you are stopping.
What is that? What is that called? You used to do like in basketball practice and the karaoke's where he's like running sideways, like staring at him. You
know right. What I mean? Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. Right.
You see it's zone off of the break. You know you're stopping.
You're finding the soft point, and
and that's when you make eye contact with the quarterback. Yes. That's when he turned. No, he was like a guy trying to steal a base who looks at the catcher the whole time instead of running straight to second.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing karaoke. And then he runs beyond his point. Makes it really hard on Kenny. We complete the pass, but you guys want to talk about why do we never get yards after the catch? Why is everything so hard? This was like fundamental basic 101 football, and you're talking about the guy you brought in to be the veteran presence who's had a very good career. He's been a 100 reception, 1,000-yard guy multiple times. No awareness. And I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, what in the world? Okay, so anyway, let's move forward to another play on the exact same drive. RPO. Najee, they motion Najee from the right to the left. Once again, you have Deontay up above with Allen Robinson inside of him. You have George Pickens down below ISO, the X receiver again.
Mm-hmm.
It's an RPO. So in which case the offensive line, now we won't talk about the blocking because the blocking was all screwed up. I don't even know what they were trying to pull guys, whatever. It was weird. But anyway, when you run an RPO, you have to make a quick read as a quarterback. If you keep that ball and you don't hand it off to the running back, because the referees are starting to really chomp down on these illegal man downfield calls. Because once you're more than 2 to 3 yards downfield, they're calling it every single time.
Because the linemen aren't going to turn around and look to see whether you...
Their assignment is to block as if it's a run.
Yes.
The low linemen don't have the ability to turn around and see if he handed it off or not. That's not the design of the play. That's what makes RPOs are about quick, reactive reads and being on the same page.
Right.
Okay.
It's a quick throw.
Above the field, Kenny's eye, he does exactly what he's supposed to do. There's a nickel. The nickel comes in hot. He blitzes. Najee can't chip because he's going in for the potential handoff. So you have a free runner. Kenny does what he's supposed to do. His eyes are to the left side of the field where he's supposed to have two hots. Not only does Deontay Johnson not look, Allen Robinson, neither of them even look at the quarterback. And Allen Robinson is the immediate read. I'm thinking, okay, this is two plays in a row now. No awareness on like the simplest of football 101. If you're running a drag route, it's the easiest freaking thing to do in the world. Okay, it's why tight ends do it every play, because if they suck, it doesn't matter. He had no awareness of the coverage, whether it was man zone, what was going on. There's no rhythm there, and then they don't bail out their quarterback on a simple RPO read when you know you're hot. It's just communication with your eyes. Yeah. They can't say it to each other. They're in an NFL football game. So what does Kenny do? He's like, oh, shit. So he rolls out to his right, as you would, but then he throws it away, which is on him because now it's a penalty. I mean, it's literally like three F-ups one play.
Okay, I was trying to think of the play you were specifically talking about this whole
time. He rolls out to his right, throws it away, penalty on top, waste of play, loss of yards because illegal man downfield. It's just poor, you can call it poor design. I'm saying poor awareness and accountability on the wide receiver's stamp. Okay. So, and then there was another play.
Right, we got time for one more play.
Well, the final play was just Kenny, and it was just, it was like a hook. And Deontay Johnson wide open, and Kenny's feet. This is the last point of emphasis I'm going to make.
He's got some foot issues.
When they get screwed up, and he's not a lot. Listen, when he steps into throws, he can throw little fireballs. He has enough arm strength. But he doesn't have the raw arm talent to really make up for it, as evidenced on the Calvin Austin play, where he could have hit him deep, but there were two guys hitting him in the face. When he has a clean pocket, he probably makes the throw.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have
the long Deontay Johnson throw in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Wow.
Which is a great throw.
Dime.
However, George Pickens kills underneath coverage on a drag, the same route Allen Robinson, and he doesn't hit it. He actually took the harder read. No, that's good offense because you have two legitimate opportunities on that play call.
Yeah.
Now, Kenny saw pre-snap. Oh, he's, you know, it's one-on-one, nothing over the top. I can make that. So he predetermined. He's like, I'm just going to throw a dime. Yeah. And he did it. He had a clean pocket. Mm-hmm. He could have hit George Pickens way easier.
Yeah.
Who had a bunch of yards. But anyway. But yeah, when his feet are getting weird, he misses Deontay on an open throw, like sails it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He sailed another one to Pickens earlier in the game on that same underneath route where he had tons of real estate ahead of him to run with the ball. So I just covered a lot of things, and we don't want to talk about it forever. I get it. But it is a multifaceted issue on that offense, because there was some good offense called that wasn't executed.
Yeah.
There is some bad offense called that was and wasn't executed. Mm-hmm. Okay, there were missed throws. There was bad wide receiver play in the end zone from Pickens. Okay, you have your veteran receiver who's not doing
veteran my language, type
but
things.
He's not doing shit.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson stinks. He stinks. He has nothing to offer. You know, I just they did some good things. You know, lining up Calvin against cover two. He runs a seam out of the slot. Again, quarterback's hard. Kenny gets pressure. I get it. He can't step into the throw. It's not a bad, it's a hard throw. That isn't like a routine play.
Yeah.
But you would like to have it. Yeah. And you would like to get the easy stuff.
I think that having this mini bye that the Steelers have, having played Thursday night and then getting the extra few days, I'm really hoping to see a lot of better execution across the board with things you just talked about, with like well-designed, well-called plays, executing those. When guys like hitting the open receiver,
it's executing open the receivers, easy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The, you know, the do tiny the easy little stuff things right. Against a defense is not really that good in Green Bay.
No,
the opportunities are going to be there, and just execute on them. Just do it one time.
It's frustrating because they have weapons.
I have this feeling, and I've thought this for a couple weeks. If we just put together 1 week where just like all those little things just like work out like they're supposed to, like a normal functioning offense.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's confidence is going to get back to where it's supposed to be. And everybody's like, this is what it's okay. And then we're going to, then hopefully,
well,
that's the catalyst we need to just keep
it going. I agree. I mean, momentum is a thing. And Kenny has proven to be very rhythm oriented in his, you know, he gets good at the end of games. And it just shows that there's capacity to be much better early in games. But we're not seeing it.
Right.
So what needs to happen? To me, it's just
someone
like
just needs to tell
Kenny
him
was
that...
also playing with a bad rib.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
probably a big reason why they decided to run against a run-oriented defense and did it very well.
Did it very well.
But we've also seen these misses from Kenny in other games where he's healthy. So, true. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like an overview of what I saw. I know that was like long-winded.
Yeah, hey, no,
but,
I like it.
But, you know, they have to be able to execute the easy stuff.
And, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this week's game. I really think it
could be a get right type game.
That's what I'm really hoping for. And
my concern is it could be a trap game.
That's what I'm. I didn't even want to say it. Because
Aaron Jones and Christian
going into
Watson
this 3 week.
I mean, I don't know.
This 3 week homestand. The Steelers are on the tail end now. The third home game in a row. Looking at those three games, it would have been great to beat the Jaguars and definitely could have won that game the way the defense played.
Could have, should have.
However, going 2-1 out of that is all I could really actually legitimately hope for.
Right.
And
I agree. If you're 6-3 heading into week 11.
And you have the Browns and Ravens playing each other, so one of them is going to lose.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's what, and then we go, what, to Cincinnati next week?
Yeah, we get a lot of division matchups coming up.
So
I'm not looking forward to a Bengals game. I'm just going to be honest with you guys.
I mean,
I look forward
to a Bengals game, but yeah, it's not looking great. This week I am looking forward to. I'm excited for this matchup. It's a nice little dress rehearsal, let's call it, before we get into the real thick of things with divisional games.
Yeah. I mean, their offense is kind of going through a lot of what ours is going through, too.
Exactly.
With a young quarterback, hasn't started a lot.
Young quarterback, young
displays
receivers.
Displays things, but yeah. I think my concern is just like, listen, we have good receivers that can run routes. Green Bay really doesn't. Like, it just feels like it's more of a waste of talent and opportunity with the personnel the Steelers have right now. Like, Christian Watson can't run routes. Romeo Doubs is he's a super mid wide receiver. Like, these guys are just kind of like, you know what I mean? Jaden Reed runs kind of lazy routes. He's a rookie. Fine. But like, Deontay Johnson's a great route runner. He's a technician. Pickens is a one-on-one god. I mean, the guy, you throw it up there, he's going to come down with it. Like, you have those types of mismatches. So to be even on an even playing field with what the Packers have looked like, it's just frustrating because it shouldn't be, quite frankly.
I agree. We'll have to wait and see. Sunday, 1 o'clock. I love 1 o'clock games. All right, guys.
Not when the Niners are playing at 1.
No, that's stupid. No. They should be front. Let's start flexing games all season long. All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed that little Steelers section there. We're going to continue to do that for the rest of the season. As long as the Steelers are alive.
hopefully deep into February.
Hey, deep into February.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. Well, guys, be sure to follow us on our social media accounts on X. That is at FF Blackboard on Instagram, at Fancy Blackboard. Just email if you have any lineup questions, CFS, betting questions, any of that, at ffblackboard@gmail.com. We look forward to talking to you guys next week. Good luck this week on all your DFS lineups, all your bets. Let's hope for a big winner.
Win some money, huh?
Yeah. All right. Peace.